just going to read from God's word. Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 8 says this: Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Proverbs 8:13 says this: The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. Proverbs 10:27: The fear of the Lord prolongs life, but the years of the wicked will be short. Proverbs 14:26-27: In the fear of the Lord, one has strong confidence, and his children will have a refuge. The fear of the Lord is a fountain of life, that one may turn away from the snares of death. And lastly, Proverbs 15:33: The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom, and humility comes before honor. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, as Sam said, we're starting a new series in the book of Proverbs. If you're new to the church or not been here before, we believe that the Bible is God's word. And so we take time every week to think about what it says and what it means. It's not just a dusty old book that was written thousands of years ago, but it's God's living word. And when we read it and when we understand it, God speaks to us. So if you're wondering how can God speak to me, he speaks to us through the words of Scripture. Okay, and that's why we spend time thinking about the Bible. So just hands up if you've had to make a tricky or difficult decision this week. Hands up if you had to make a tricky or difficult decision this week. What about this month? This year? Tony, you've not had to make any difficult decisions. Yeah. Maybe it was a work decision. Maybe it was a parenting decision. Maybe it was how to navigate a really, really tricky situation. Maybe it was making a decision about your future, where you're going to live. Maybe it was about having a difficult conversation with somebody. Maybe it was something that's going on at work. What do we need in these situations? We need wisdom. We need wisdom. Wisdom from above. Wisdom that is outside of ourselves. Because a lot of the time, our brains are like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Wisdom is knowing what to do in any given situation to the glory of God, according to God's words. Wisdom is knowing what to do to the glory of God in any given situation according to God's holy word. And that's why we're going to spend some time in the book of Proverbs. If you never come across the book of Proverbs, Proverbs is basically a wise older man giving advice to his son. That's what the book of Proverbs is about. And last year, if you were here with us, we looked at Proverbs chapter 1 to 9. And now in this summer, we're looking at Proverbs 10 to 31. Now, there's a slight difference between 1 and 9 and 10 and 31, if you know your Bibles well. 1 to 9 are basically King Solomon giving 12 sermons to his son on wisdom and folly, on how to make wise decisions and how to avoid foolish decisions. If you go to chapters 10 to 31, Solomon gives little bite-sized chunks of wisdom to his son, little nuggets of wisdom, little drops of truth. Easy to read, they make sense, they pack a punch, and they basically give you wisdom to chew on that day. So think about chapters 1 to 9, they're sermons. They're like a big meal to digest, a big three-course meal. But 10 to 31 are like little bits of candy or a chewing gum. Just chuck in your mouth, you chew on it, sweet, flavor releases straight away. Chuck it in your mouth, nice and sweet, gives you a little boost. It's good for the day. It's So just give you one example. Proverbs 10 verse 1 says this, and you'll probably get it straight away once I read it out. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is sorrow to his mother. Makes sense, doesn't it? When a son is making good, wise decisions, it makes his father proud. It brings respect to the family name. But a foolish son who makes unwise decisions brings sorrow to his mother. It literally breaks a mother's heart to see her son ruin his life. The amount of sorrow in this scheme because of foolish decisions by sons could fill a whole lock, couldn't it? So in the coming weeks, we'll be taking 3 or 4 proverbs that are linked together by a theme, and we'll spend the sermon looking at that theme for the next, I think it's 10 weeks or so. So we're going to be looking at things like making wise decisions. That's important, isn't it? How to use our words wisely. How to be a godly friend. How a family is supposed to run. How do I treat my enemies? How do I respond to authority, particularly when it's corrupt? What do I do about the envy in my heart? What do I do if I struggle with anger, self-control, addictions? And even a sermon we're going to look at womanhood at the end of our little series and what the Bible says about what it means to be a biblical woman. But before we get into any of those subjects, come back the next couple of weeks, you can view those and think through those together. Before we look at any of those subjects, we need to look at the center of the book of making wise decisions. And it comes in this phrase, 3 words, fearing the Lord. Okay? Fearing the Lord. Repeat after me. The center of the book of Proverbs is fearing the Lord. Okay? Fearing the Lord. All of godliness and wisdom depends on understanding and living out this key theme in the Bible. Right at the beginning of the book, Solomon says this, Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In order to gain wisdom in life, to make wise decisions, you need to understand what this means. What does it mean to fear the Lord? So, 3 things today. What is the fear of the Lord? What does that mean? Because it's complicated or can be confusing. Why should you fear the Lord this morning? And then how can you grow in biblical fear of the Lord? Make sense? With me? I know it's hot. You have to stay awake. Stay with me, okay? What does it mean to fear the Lord, okay? The fear of the Lord is a tricky concept to define. Why? Because in the English language, when we think of fear, we generally think of being scared of something. We think of it as a negative thing. Many think of scary movies, or fearing dark nights, or maybe an operation coming up, or bad guys coming to get us. You think the stuff of nightmares when you think of fearing. It's being filled with dread about something. In scheme culture, what I'm led to believe, is even more difficult to understand, because in the scheme you're taught, don't fear anything. Don't fear anything. Don't cry. Get on with it. Don't fear anything. Don't fear anybody. Don't show anyone fear or weakness, because people are going to trample all over you if you do that. That's what you're taught. And yet many in the scheme are brought up in a state of fear because of trauma or abuse or violence in the family. Some of us this morning fear going to sleep and are constantly hypervigilant because you fear being attacked in the night or an abuser finding out where you live. And so fear is seen as this negative thing, isn't it? It's a negative thing. Don't be feared of anything. But yet we are feared of things, aren't we, at the same time? However, in the Bible, the fear of the Lord isn't a negative thing. It's a positive thing. The fear of the Lord is connected to knowing and loving and trusting the Lord. Fear in the Bible is connected to joy. Fear of the Lord is connected to forgiveness. Let me give you 2 examples in the Bible. Psalm 130, verse 4 says this. But with you, there is forgiveness that you may be feared. See that? Forgiveness and fear go side by side. I'm forgiven and therefore I fear. That doesn't make sense though in our heads, does it? Usually if you're forgiven, you just feel a joy or love about something. As Isaiah 11 verse 3 says, and his delight shall be in the fear of the Lord. The Bible talks about it being a joy to fear the Lord. Not something that you dread, not something that you're scared of, not a horror movie, not someone coming to get you, but a positive thing. So how can that go together? How can fear and joy go together? How can fear and delight go together? How can fear and love go together? Well, let me give you a little definition of fear and then just give you an illustration to try and help you grasp it in your heads. So the fear of the Lord is a joyful trembling before our great and mighty God because of his grace and mercy to us. Let me say that again. The fear of the Lord is a joyful trembling before our great and majestic God because of his grace and mercy to us. The fear of the Lord is to tremble before him because why? He is great and majestic, much greater and more majestic than we are. And in comparison, we are sinners. At the same time, it's joyful because he beckons us or calls us to call him Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. So it's trembling because he's greater than us. Like if you were standing before the Niagara Falls, it's amazing. And yet it's joyful because he doesn't say run away from me. He says run to me. Do you get it? It's joyful trembling. Let me give you an illustration to help you understand. So the God of the Bible is called a consuming fire. What do we say to kids when they go too near a bonfire? We say to them, don't get too close. But at the same time, we tell them, toast your marshmallows, enjoy the warmth, enjoy the light that it brings in the darkness. Do you see that? You're telling your kids to joyfully tremble before the fire. Enjoy it, but don't take it for granted. And that's what it's like in the Bible with God. We joyfully tremble before him. Our God is majestic and powerful in the heavens. He's the powerful creator of the ends of the earth. He spoke the universe into existence. So we treat him with respect. Not some bam that lives down the road, but with respect. We worship him rightly as he deserves. And so as a Christian this morning, you want to get rid of some aspects of fearing God, and you want to cultivate other aspects of fearing God. You want to get rid of the fear, the kind of fear that makes you think God is some sort of cruel taskmaster in the heavens, and that we are his slaves, and at any point he might turn on us. In Christ, you do not need to fear his punishment anymore. The Bible says, perfect love casts out all fear. Because fear has to do with punishment. The God of the Bible is not an abusive family member. He's not an abusive ex. He's not cruel. He does not turn on you when you mess up. He's the God of grace and mercy, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. And if you are in Christ this morning, your sins have been paid, and you have a restored relationship with God, and you can grieve his heart, but you can never lose his love. The gospel says this in Christ. There's nothing you can do to make God love you more, and there's nothing you can do to make God love you less. Because of God, because of Christ, God is for you. You do not have to fear this morning that he will reject you if you are in Christ. So the fear of the Lord, rather than running away from the Lord, the fear of the Lord actually emboldens us because the gospel says, come before his throne of grace boldly. See how fear is tricky? It's saying fear him, but it's not run away from him, it's run to him. However, that does not mean you take his grace and his mercy and his love for granted. Philippians chapter 2 says, work out your salvation with what? Fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you. See? Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. That means you're secure in God's love, but you don't ever take it for granted. The person who takes God's grace for granted doesn't understand God's grace in the first place. A graceless heart, I mean, someone who doesn't understand God's grace is cocky, and they are proud, and they are entitled, and they are arrogant, and they are self-centered. A heart that understands God's grace is broken and contrite and humble and thinks about others above themselves. You know, there's a beautiful walk in Orkney called the Yesnaby Walk. It's on one of the coasts, I think it's the east coast of Orkney. It's absolutely stunning if you ever get a chance to go up there. And there's a path that goes up there, and you basically go to the edge of the cliffs, and there are these big drops, but the water's so beautiful and clear. Lots of different colors. It's amazing. And when we go with our kids, we say to our kids, enjoy the view. Enjoy the view. Enjoy the walk, take in all of God's creation, but don't go too near the edge. Because if you go too near the edge, you might fall in and you will most certainly drown. The walk in Orkney is beautiful and yet dangerous at the same time. Joyful trembling. That's the same with our relationship with God. We enjoy him, we worship him, we treasure him, but we don't dare to disrespect him. We don't mess around with sin. We remember that he is much greater than us. It's a joyful trembling before our great God. Like I said, the fear of God doesn't mean you run from him, but we run to him. When we run to him, it stops us from becoming proud. The thing you should fear this morning or be scared of is becoming proud and conceited. You should be scared of not fearing the consequences of sin if you're outside of Christ. It's a joyful thing to know the Lord. It's a great privilege and blessing, but don't you dare take that grace for granted. Now, before I get into the fear of the Lord, it's just important for me to say that if you're not a Christian this morning, that you should fear his punishment. If you've not repented of your sins, if you've not trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness, he's not your Father in heaven, the Bible says, but he is your judge. Just go back to the consuming fire illustration. When you're outside of Christ and you do not fear the Lord, do you know what it's like? It's like being doused in oil and going near that bonfire. What's going to happen? Boom. Going to be consumed. But there's hope. If you would turn to Jesus, if you would tremble before him joyfully, call out to be rescued, believe upon Jesus Christ, you can be saved. Saved now and saved from the judgment that is coming for each one of us. So, that's what fear the Lord is. Joyful trembling before him that causes us to run to him, not run away from him. So, why should we fear the Lord? Why should you fear the Lord in your life this morning? Why should you fear the Lord? Well, the book of Proverbs gives us lots of reasons, but here's a few. The fear of the Lord is that gateway to wisdom that I talked about earlier. It's the gateway to wisdom. The fear of the Lord is instruction in wisdom. Wisdom begins with God. It comes from knowing him. He is wise, and so knowing him makes us wise as well. And that wisdom cannot be attained from outside of God. It's the whole path and sum of wisdom. You know, I meet a lot of people in life. A lot of people just try to muddle on in life by themselves, don't they? Trying to get through with maybe advice from family, maybe the internet, maybe they follow some people on Instagram and they follow a few famous celebrities, some influencers. But real wisdom is free. You have to pay for it. And it's found in the pages of the Bible. But here's the key. First, you need to submit to him. You need to understand that wisdom comes from outside of yourself. You need to say, I'm going to listen to that voice within me first and foremost. I'm going to listen to the voice of God in the scriptures. The wisest people are those who realize they cannot get on with life by themselves, but they need the help of their Creator. A wise person fears the Lord and humbly listens to His voice and the wisdom of others who are godly also. And then that flows into all their decisions that they make. See, the one who fears the Lord will bridle their tongue, even though they want to shout out all the time. That's wisdom. The one who fears the Lord learns contentment instead of getting envious of those around them because they know God is wise and joy is found in submitting to Him. The one who fears the Lord will instruct and even discipline their children, even though it's very difficult and painful. Why? Because they know that's going to help the child grow and learn. The one who fears the Lord grows in self-control instead of giving in to their addictions, because they know that their addictions will just destroy their lives. The one who fears the Lord is a godly friend who lays down their life for others, because they know that friendship is vital for life and that selfishness leads to loneliness. The one who fears the Lord loves their spouse and doesn't nag them constantly so that they bring heaven to earth instead of hell. The one who fears the Lord will watch the company they keep because they know bad company corrupts good character. The one who fears the Lord does not go for quick fixes and impulsive decisions, but waits upon the Lord because they know that like the ant, they must work and plan in order to be successful. The one who fears the Lord stays humble because they know that pride comes before a fall. The fear of the Lord is a spring which leads to wisdom because you're not listening to that inner voice of stupidity or folly, but you're listening to the wise voice of your Heavenly Father. That means if you want to be wise this morning, God must be central in your life. God must be central. He must be a priority. He's not like a gym membership. But gym membership, you know, you sign on, and it's a little optional extra to your life. If I can make it, I'll make it. That's not how it works with God. He's not an optional add-on to your life. He must be central. Every relationship, every word you speak, every job you take, every conversation you have should always have this question ringing in the back of your mind: how will this affect my relationship with God? How will this affect my relationship with God? Because everything you do matters. And everything you do is lived out before your holy God who sees all things. So it's a pathway to wisdom, but also the fear of the Lord saves you from ruin. It saves you from ruin. Proverbs 3 says, the opposite of fearing the Lord is trusting in yourself. Those who fear the Lord rightly grow to trust in Him. And when you fear the Lord, it moves you away from depending upon yourself to depending on God. Why is that a good thing? Well, trusting in yourself, the Bible says, always leads to ruin. Why? Because your heart is deceitful and it's wicked above all things, as my heart is deceitful and wicked above all things. Our hearts lead us down crooked paths and to salty waters. The voice of foolishness is constantly in our heads. Do you know the person that speaks to you the most? It's not your wife or your partner or your child. You might think it's that, but they're not the people that speak to you the most. The person who speaks to you the most is you. You're constantly having an inner conversation with yourself all the time. Should I do this? Should I do that? Think this, think that, do this, do that. Constantly in your heads, all the time, you're talking to yourself. Do you know what you need to have? Less of yourself. Bap, 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 yap, yap, yap. And more of God and His Word speaking to you to help you make wise decisions. And when you're fearing and loving the Lord, you love what He loves and you hate what He hates. Your relationship with God changes you. When you fear God, you hate sin and evil. When you don't fear God, you compromise. You don't take sin seriously. God is not your priority. But trusting in the Lord, fearing Him, will save you from ruin here and in your relationships and in the life to come. And finally, we're to fear the Lord because it brings life. It brings life to us. The fear of the Lord prolongs life, the Bible says. The fear of the Lord is a fountain. It's a fountain of life. Now, does that mean if I start fearing the Lord that I'm going to live longer than everybody else? Well, what you need to understand is that Proverbs works in generalizations. If you follow God's commands, in general, life will last longer for you. That's not always the case, is it? Sometimes you get the little old lady who lives down the road who never believed in God, smokes 50 fags a day, drinks liters of vodka every day, and lives to 80. And then you get the guy who's fit and healthy and follows the Lord, and he gets cancer at 25 and dies. But in general, the wicked die young, don't they? And the wise grow old. If you work hard, life will have purpose. If you live in community, godly community, you will not be alone and you'll live longer. If you use your words wisely, friendship will abound. If you work and rest as you were created to, then you have less physical issues. If you walk in joy instead of envy and bitterness and anger, your physical heart will last longer. If you're not a glutton and you eat healthy, your body will thrive. But here's the thing. Fearing the Lord is not just talking about physical life, it's talking about spiritual life. Sin, any sin in general, will break your relationship with God. Sin will break your relationship with each other. It breaks a relationship with you, and it breaks a relationship with creation. Fear the Lord allows you or moves you towards flourishing in your relationship with God, flourishing in your relationship with others, flourishing in your relationship with yourself and having a true identity in Christ, and flourishing in your relationship with creation. It leads to joy and life and contentment and love and grace and mercy. Now, that doesn't mean you always get what you want, do you? Doesn't mean you won't suffer. Doesn't mean that life won't be painless. But the fear of the Lord brings hope in the midst of the most difficult situations, because you're not trusting in yourself, you're trusting in the Lord. The fear of the Lord brings life because there is joy abounding in Him. The fear of the Lord brings life because, you know what? You realize that you're on a journey to eternity. If you suffer here and you struggle here, that's okay, because there's going to be a place of hope where there'll be no more suffering at the end. Jesus says, I've come to bring life and bring life in all of its fullness. A couple of years ago, we were on holiday with the family. All my side of the family were there, my nieces and nephews, my brothers, sister-in-laws, mom and dad, and everyone's playing in the pool, sun is shining, it's a beautiful, beautiful day. And then I think it was Isaac, one of the kids, got out, and he had one of those sun loungers, he sat on it, hands behind his head, he's got a can of Coke in his hands, feet up, and he said, this is the life. This is the life. That's what fearing the Lord brings. It brings life, hope, joy. Doesn't mean there's not going to be difficulties along the way, but it brings true life to our broken souls. So lastly, how do we grow in fearing the Lord? Very briefly, how do we grow in this fear of the Lord? Strangely, the Bible says you grow in fearing the Lord by understanding God's goodness and grace and mercy to you. You grow in fearing the Lord by understanding God's goodness and grace and mercy to you. Let me show you in the Bible. Jeremiah 33 verse 9 says this, "They shall fear and tremble because of all the good and prosperity I will provide for you." They shall fear and tremble because of all the good I'm going to show you. Let me just go back to our definition of fearing the Lord. Again, you expect if you're growing in fearing the Lord, you want to see God's majesty. Of course we do want to see God's majesty. That does help cultivate fear. But the Bible also talks about understanding God's grace towards us, helps us understand and grow in fear of the Lord. It's not fearing punishment, but by understanding that your sins are cleansed, that your forgiveness has been purchased, and that God has been gracious towards us. Remember, it's fear that leans us towards God because of his goodness. And let me just quote an old guy. He's dead now, 300 years ago. There's a guy called John Bunyan, good working class lad, who became a Christian. And he said this, "Indeed, nothing can lay a stronger obligation upon the heart to fear God than sense of or hope in mercy." Nothing can lay fear on the heart or sense of it than hope in mercy. How's that? Love and fear are not opposites in the Bible, but they go hand in hand. It's the more that you understand his love for you that you will fearfully love him in return. How does that work? Well, think about it this way. The more you love something, the more you fear losing it, don't you? If you love money more than anything else in the world, what will be your greatest fear? Losing money. If you love having a good reputation in a scheme, what do you fear more than anything else? You fear losing face in front of others. That will be your greatest fear. If you love your family more than anything else, what's going to be your greatest fear? To lose them. That they might die or let you down. In the same way, when you know God's love and goodness, you should fear him and fear losing his love, not because of punishment per se, but because you love him. And you fear losing that relationship. It's his grace that helps us joyfully tremble before him. We tremble because of his greatness, and we love him because in his greatness, he has been gracious to us, even though we don't deserve it. In other words, it's the cross of Christ that grows this joyful, trembling fear before our great Father. Why? Because in Christ, it frees us from that sinful fear of the Lord and grows us in that loving fear of our Lord and Savior. Just think about the New Testament. Think about the woman who anoints Jesus' feet with her tears. Don't know who this woman is. She's a prostitute. She's a sinner. And Jesus is sitting with all the religious leaders around him. And this woman comes in and she's trembling. But she walks confidently to Jesus' feet, gets on her knees, and her tears and her hair wash his feet. And Jesus says this about her. He who's forgiven much, loves much. She trembles before him, but she moves towards him because she knows he's much greater than her, but she also knows he's gracious to her. And she loves much. The gospel of free grace leads us to love, worship, adore, and praise God. It's the cross of Christ that grows godly fear. Think about the person you love the most in the world. Think about the person you love most in the world right now. Have a little think. Who is that person? You love that person because they mean something to you and you fear losing that relationship. You have a joyful, fearful, trembling love. Not because they're strict with you, but because they love you. And you in turn love them and fear losing them in your life. That's what God's mercy does to us. After Jesus preached a difficult sermon and everyone left, Jesus said to Peter and the 12 disciples, "Are you going to go too? Are you going to leave?" And the disciples said, Peter said, "Where else can I go? Where else can I go? You have the words of eternal life." God's kindness to us helps us see our wickedness, but also helps us see his grace and mercy to us and leads us to tremble before him in joyful awe and fear. It's as you behold the man on the cross that you grow in fear and wisdom this morning. Here's the thing. The wisest people I've met in life, in this church and outside of this church, are the ones who love their Savior the most. And they love their Savior the most because they get his mercy and grace to a sinner like them, and they don't ever, ever take it for granted. They were joyful, trembling before him. God is not just some sort of concept or add-on for your life, but God should be the greatest love of your life. To see his beauty and be changed by him. And my prayer as we go through this series is that you look to the cross, you joyfully tremble before him, and that as a church we grow in wisdom together as we make wise decisions and as we move towards each other in grace. We sing this, O great God of highest heavens, occupy my lowly heart, own it all and reign supreme, conquer every rebel power. Let no vice or sin remain that resists your holy war. Why? Because you've loved and purchased me. Make me yours forevermore. Amen? Amen.